Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater. Before we begin our program, I'd like to let you know that free newsletters are available from our ministry. Just email us at cdebater@aol.com and give us your mailing address, and we'll mail them out to you for free. You can also call us at 512-218-8022 and leave your address there. You can also access all our newsletters online by going to one of our three websites called BibleQuery.org. Once on the homepage, simply click on the Experience box and then scroll down to the newsletter section as shown here. Since our number one most watched video of the over 548 videos we have produced for YouTube at the time of this recording is Unpopular Bible Doctrines number one, The Biblical God No One Wants to Know, with over 433,000 viewings, our latest newsletter is called Unpopular Topic, How Sovereign is God? Our second most viewed YouTube video is 6-year-old wife of Muhammad was okay by the Muslim God Allah, but not by the biblical God of Jesus, with over 341,000 viewings. We also have three newsletters available on Islam. Our video, Debate, Larry Wessels versus Two Jehovah's Witnesses at a University Study Center, currently has close to 150,000 views. See our newsletter on the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, Deceive Deceivers. Our video, Is Jesus God Almighty in the Flesh, meaning the second person of the Trinity, or is he something else, has over 101,000 viewings. See our newsletter, Testimony to the Eternal Godhead, the Trinity. Our video, Biography, the famous 19th century Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a man of God, has close to 89,000 views. See two of our newsletters with lead articles from sermons by Spurgeon. Our video, UFOs, Ancient Aliens, or Beings of the Fourth Dimension, number one, Fact or Fiction, has over 207,000 viewings. Not only do UFOs and the occult use the same disciplines, such as levitation, teleportation of objects, psychokinesis, clairvoyance, automatic writing, and telepathy, but their theologies are completely foreign to biblical Christianity. UFO theologies include everything from reincarnation and evolution to man achieving cosmic godhood, but they do not include Jesus Christ as the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. We have two newsletters related to the world of the occult to which UFOs are a part. Our video, Former Roman Catholic Bride of Christ Nun Testifies of Abnormal Life in the Convent, has over 67,000 viewings. Our video featuring former Roman Catholic Rob Zins, who has a Master of Theology from Dallas Theological Seminary, Historical Split Between Roman Catholicism and the Christ of the Scripture, Man's Word or God's Word, has over 53,000 viewings. See our two newsletters on the subject of Roman Catholicism. Our video, Cult of Ellen G. White, number one, Beginnings of the 19th Century Religion, called Seventh-day Adventism, has over 48,000 viewings and features former Seventh-day Adventist Wallace Slattery, who has 44 years' experience with this religion. Our playlist, called Dealing with Seventh-day Adventism and Their Prophetess, features 15 videos with 14 hours of material. See our newsletter, Seventh-day Adventism, True or False? For theological music lovers, see our video, Favorite old-time Christian bluegrass gospel music, Psalm 98, verses 4 and 5, with over 214,000 viewings. We have also posted several music videos by my own daughter, Marlena Wessels, from her CD, Win This Fight, songs she has written and performed herself. To see our music videos, please go to our main YouTube channel page. Scroll down to our multiple playlists. Arrow over to our playlist called Our Radio Shows with National Christian Authors and Music Vids. Once there, scroll down to the bottom of the playlist where the music videos are listed. I could go on and on, but this should be sufficient for now. Don't forget to check out our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers Television, also which has over 19 playlists by topic as you scroll down our channel page. Now, on with our main presentation. Greetings and welcome once again to our program. I'm Larry Wessels, your host, and I want to thank you for being with us today. Well, here we are for another presentation by Christian Answers on a different topic. As you may have noticed over the 30-some years we've been doing this, actually I guess I should say 29 years, almost 30 years we've been doing television. And you know that we do many different topics on many subjects, but always from a biblical perspective, how the Bible affects the topic we're talking about. Well, today I wanted to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. For years and years, through our ministry, Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, also a copyrighted name of Christian Debater, we've been producing newsletters. And for years and years, I've been doing one newsletter or another on one subject or another. In fact, all our newsletters that we've been doing over the decades are posted online at our website, www.biblequery.org. So if you go there to biblequery.org and you come up on the homepage, if you look off to the left as you're looking at the screen, you'll see a little box up to the upper left-hand corner that says experience. That's mainly just a shortcut to get you to the newsletter section fast. So you just click on the experience box and it'll change the screen on the left-hand side of our Bible Query website to where you now find yourself just above where all the newsletters are. So all you have to do is just scroll down just a little bit and there's all our newsletters that we've ever done for Christian Answers. Going back now, I guess this year, almost 20 years. So if there's certain topics you want to know about or certain religious groups or things like that, it's all at your fingertips by just going to our website, biblequery.org, and then scrolling down, as I said, and you can click on to any of those newsletters. You have to wait for it to download a little bit. But once it downloads and you upload it, you can scroll through those newsletters or you can print it out so you'll have a hard copy of those newsletters, and then you can use them for witnessing encounters or study groups or however you want to use that information. It's there for you. And it's free of charge, which always makes everybody happy. And speaking of something that's free of charge, I wanted to mention that all our videos on YouTube are, of course, free of charge. Anyone can access our videos. And in fact, We don't even charge for all the videos. At the time of this recording, we actually now have 556 uploaded videos. Now, probably by the time a lot of people are going to see this video a long time later, we'll have a lot more than that by God's grace. But at the time of this recording, we have 556 videos, and all of them are free. You can go to any one of these videos on YouTube. A lot of times you can access our videos just by typing my name in the YouTube search box, Larry Wessels, and click that, and then it'll bring up just a host of my videos, but also mainly what I'm interested in you knowing about is our YouTube channel page, which is Christian Answers TV, or for short on YouTube, our YouTube channel name is C Answers TV. Just C standing for Christian, then Answers TV. C Answers TV standing for Christian Answers Television. And there you can find all our videos in one place, and it's organized into 19 playlists by topic. And later in this video, I'll go into that in more detail pertaining to what we're going to be discussing today. And as I've already prefaced in my remarks already, I was talking about the newsletters. And today's show is going to be on the sovereignty of God. And I'm basically basing that subject off of one of our latest newsletters, or the latest newsletter as of the time of this recording. Unpopular topic, how sovereign is God? Now, as you already know, people have all kinds of strange and weird ideas about God. They don't really understand who he is or what he is or how he operates or any of that stuff. But of course, we here at Christian Answers are interested in what the Bible has to say. We believe the Bible is the only source we have to go with that's truth from God Almighty himself. Of course, there's a lot of people that don't believe the Bible. They attack the Bible. We got all these religions that attack the Bible. But one reason we have 556 videos on our YouTube channel is we've got lots of videos to deal with those people. So if you're having trouble with people that attack the Bible and say the Bible's not true and all this junk, well, you know, particularly go to our radio show playlist. We have a lot of radio shows by biblical scholars that deal with a lot of the attacks made against the Bible. And, of course, we got the Muslims particularly like to attack the Bible. We have a whole playlist on Islam, and we deal with their attacks against the Bible. So, and atheists and so forth. So we're ready for that. But as true born-again Christians, we believe the Bible is our only source for our true revelation about God and who he is and what he's doing in this world, this reality that we find ourselves in. So with that said, our latest newsletter, which I happen to write the lead article in this case, is called Unpopular Topic, How Sovereign is God? And one reason I said it was an unpopular topic is God himself, the biblical God, is totally unpopular in this culture we're living in. Once you know who the real God is, as revealed in the scripture, you're going to realize that most people don't like him. They don't want the God of the Bible. They want something else. And that's why we, in this world, we have all these weird religions. We have all this other stuff. People will take anything but the true God that's revealed in the Bible. And I have a feeling that when we get through with this telecast, after I go through all the scriptural references for God and how sovereign he is, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to agree with what I just said, because they're not going to like what I'm going to tell you about God coming right out of the Bible. And that's why I call it an unpopular topic. People really don't want to know the true sovereign God of the Bible. And one reason this newsletter was inspired for me to put out is the fact that I've got 556 videos on YouTube, and the number one most watched video that we have out there in cyberspace on YouTube with over 520,000 views at this time. Do you realize that's over 500,000 views just on one video? Over 500,000 views. 520,000 and counting. I don't know. I think last time I checked, I was getting over 1,000 views on that video a day, just on that one video. Not to mention the other 555 videos we've got. But on that particular video, it starts a 15-hour, 15-part series we've got called Unpopular Bible Doctrines. And that particular video has got over 500,000 hits. It's Unpopular Bible Doctrines number one. And because that video seems to be so popular, it's kind of ironic, isn't it? You know, our most popular video is Unpopular Bible Doctrines. But anyway, because of that, I was inspired to do this newsletter on How Sovereign Is God, because basically the Unpopular Bible Doctrine series, by and large, is really telling you a lot about who God is. And we're talking about what the Bible says about God and what he does, how he operates, the plan of salvation, all those things that we find in the Bible. And, of course, these things are what make the God of the Bible so unpopular. So what I've decided to do today to really get us into a study into the sovereignty of God, as the Bible proclaims. I'm not going with any other source. We're going to stick to just scriptural evidence for what the Bible says and how sovereign is God. And we're going to go through it using basically my newsletter, How Sovereign Is God, as an outline for this study. All right. With that said, I would like to begin our analysis from a biblical perspective of how sovereign is God. And we're going to go right to the newsletter as, like I said, as our outline for study. Now, there's too many biblical references. And by the way, when I wrote this article, which was almost 30 years ago, because, you know, when you're in love with God and you want to just know all there is about God, you're going to study his word. I mean, that just goes without saying. If you really, truly love God out of your heart, with all your soul, your heart, your mind, your strength, as the scripture references to, you're going to read the word of God. You're going to say you want to find out all about the one you love as much as you can. And, of course, that was my situation. So over 30 years ago, I wrote all this into an article, and it's been out there, but I don't think as, you know, we didn't really have the means to put this information out there out like we do now. So, but because even if it is 30 years old, it's still the Word of God, which never changes. And as we know, I think it's in Psalm 138, verse 2b, if my memory serves correct, that there in the Psalm, God says he's put his word above all his name. So if God values the word he proclaims that highly, then we can trust what God has to say. And so, as I said, my source of belief is in the word of God and really nothing else. Now, there's men of God out there. You can get lots of information. But if you really want truth, you go straight to the Bible. Okay, now with that said, let's move into our Bible study on how sovereign is God. Now, you see on your screen there the newsletter. We're on page one. And I'm basically, like I said, there's too many Bible verses for me to read them all to you. So what I'm going to do is go through the topic and just read one or two verses, maybe a few more if I think it's apropos, but we're just going to go from point to point and get a feel for how sovereign is God. And even though I'm only going to read one or two verses, maybe a few more in some cases, the references are there, and they're there for your study. So even if I only read one verse out of 10, that doesn't mean you don't have to go back and look up the other 10. They're there for you. Like I said, you can access this newsletter on our online. You can call me and leave a message. We get too many phone calls for me to answer all, and I definitely can't do callbacks. Just get too many phone calls. I wouldn't have enough time to do anything else. But you can leave a message on our ministry answering machine, and then I'll pick it up and then mail you free newsletters, if you like it that way. So you can get a copy of this newsletter, no problem. We send it out free. We're not in this ministry for money. And I get these advertisers always want me to try to partner in so we can make money off of YouTube or doing video work and stuff like this. And I just tell them, look, you don't want to advertise with us because what we say is so unpopular, you're not going to get your desired effect off advertising. Because we're going to be offending everybody because we're just basically giving what the Bible says. And the next thing you know, the Bible's going to go against all these cults and religions. And next thing you're going to have most of the people against you, and that's not going to help your product, whatever it is you're trying to sell. All we really want to advertise here, and in fact, my degree is in advertising from the University of Texas. All I've ever wanted to advertise since I was born again in the Spirit of God by a sovereign act of God back on May 16th, 1981, is I just want to advertise Jesus. That's who I want to advertise. So I don't care about all these other guys and their products. I just want to advertise the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, John 14:6. Okay, let's get back to this, though, before I give you a complete different show without even getting on the topic. Okay, here we are on the first point. As you see in the newsletter, unlimited sovereignty of God. God cannot be defeated. He rules and controls everything and everyone. And now you got a lot of verses there, but I'm just going to read one of them. Isaiah 46:9-11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. All right, the next point, divine foreordination. God has decreed the end from the beginning beforehand. Looking at Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 11. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You get that? It's not your will, but it's God's will. Don't forget that as we go through here. All right, the next point. God's plan is eternal. All future events and actions of men are absolutely certain from God's perspective. Now we see here 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So you've got a lot of interesting stuff going on right there in God's eternal plan. Okay, now the next one. God's plan is unchangeable. No one can frustrate God's eternal plan. For this we have Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So, God's plan is unchangeable. Next, the divine plan includes future acts of men. The acts of men, whether minor or great, are already accounted for in God's plan. Now we'll see this in action in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So, here, Jesus is already predicting everything that's going to happen ahead of time. Next, the divine plan includes chance events. God cannot be taken by surprise and, in fact, controls chance occurrences. All right, we see here in 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 28 and also verse 34. And Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord had not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, "Turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." So here this archer shoots an arrow by chance, and it just happens to hit the king of Israel, fulfilling the prophecy by the prophet Micaiah. All right, next, some events are inevitably certain. Anytime God reveals a prophecy, it means that the future event or events is absolutely certain because God will make it come to pass. And we see here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Next, we see sinful acts are overruled by God and included in plan. God works even evil acts of men into good for his elect. And we see here Amos chapter 3, verse 6. "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" Also see Acts chapter 2, verse 23. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Do you see how God has, by his determinate and counsel and foreknowledge, ordained this, but yet the men who did it are still considered wicked and are responsible for their wicked actions? All things are made and maintained by God. God is in complete control. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." Next, we see God's plan is prearranged. The destiny of each individual is determined before he even comes into existence. See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So before Jeremiah was even born, God had already ordained and sanctified him to be a prophet. Next, and a lot of people really hate this, Satan and evil spirits carry out God's plan. Satan and his legions, knowingly or unknowingly, accomplish God's plan. And just for one example, see 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 through 23. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold,
the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Divine sovereignty and human freedom. All men, knowingly or unknowingly, carry out the plan of God. Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So here God is in control of all these people, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel. And they're all going to do what God had already determined in his counsel beforehand to be done. Who's in control here, them or God? God's in control, but they still have human responsibility. Another verse on this subject is Revelation 17, 17. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. That's pretty heavy-duty doctrine there, but I hope you're taking it all in. God's plan at the appointed time allowed non-Jews to be saved. And of course, a lot of people ask, saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God, that's what. That's what we're trying to be saved from. God's got a wrath, and people either go to heaven or hell. And our goal is to have people saved from the wrath of God so they don't have to go to hell. But anyway, God gave his electing grace to the Gentiles. And we read here in Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. God intervenes directly in the affairs and attitudes of men. God has direct control over all of his creatures. And your verse on that is Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Also see Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 10. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. So you always hear these preachers talk about God doesn't interfere in your life and he doesn't mess with your free will and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, when you read Acts 22 verses 6 through 10, it sure looks like God intervened in Paul's situation. He was going there to kill Christians, and God directly intervened on his road trip and turned him totally around. Man is declared to be totally wicked, dead in sin and trespasses. God declares all men to be completely dead in sin and therefore unable to help themselves attain salvation. Here we see Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And also, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and verse 12. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. God sovereignly chooses some sinners to be saved. God, after the counsel of his own will, not man's, elects some to salvation when none deserve to be saved. Romans chapter 9, verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Also see Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Do you get that right there? Do you see it right there? Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, why did God choose the Israelites instead of the Egyptians and all the other people on the face of the earth? The reason he chose the Israelites and not the Egyptians and all the other, like the Amalekites, the Ammonites, the Jebusites, and all the otherites, is because he loved them. That should tell you something right there. God's love has limits. Okay, next, God decrees reprobation for the non-elect. Sinners that have not been chosen by God for salvation are left to die in their sins. Romans 9:11 states, quote, for though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, end quote. Joshua 11:20, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that in that last verse there in Jude 4? These men who are going to be condemned, they're ungodly men, were ordained by God for this. Okay, going on from there. The heathen are lost. All those after a certain age who never had an opportunity to hear the gospel will still go to hell. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 8 and 9. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Now, this is a long scriptural passage, but this is some heavy-duty stuff here, and anyone that watches this video needs to be aware of this. So I'm going to begin reading, and just stay with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Boy, if this isn't a description of our modern day culture, I don't know what is. But anyway, that whole passage there in Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, is of supreme importance when it comes to understanding the things of God, his holiness, and the things he hates, and what we see in our culture today. All right. Moving on, particular redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his blood for the sins of his elect and not for the sin, that's singular, of all mankind. And you can read more about this from the high priesthood of Christ for atonement of particular sins of particular people, his elect. And now, as you can see on your newsletter, all those verses apply to that high priesthood of Christ, where he's atoning for particular sins of particular people. But now let's look at a couple here. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now notice this purchase by the blood of Christ is made for the flock, the church of God. It's not talking about everybody. It's talking about the flock of God, those he actually died for. We also see Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 here. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It doesn't say he's going to save all people for all their sins. He doesn't say that at all. It says he's going to save his people from their sins, which makes it exclusive to being everybody that ever lived on the face of the earth, no matter when it was. That's just ridiculous when you look at it from a scriptural reference. Okay, and then to go along with this, and you can see this on your newsletter here, there are only three possibilities. One, Christ died for all men's sins. Two, Christ died for all of some men's sins. Or three, Christ died for some of all men's sins. If the first point is true, then all men must be saved because all men have had all their sins paid for, including the sin of unbelief. If the third is true, then there are still some sins for which Christ did not pay. Therefore, all men must go to hell, not having had all their sins paid for. If the second is true, Jesus paid in full all the sins that some, that's the elect, committed, and these men are truly redeemed. Now, with that stated, we get to another very, very unpopular doctrine. And that doctrine is, God does not love everybody. Oh, heaven forbid, you know. But when you read the Bible, that's the only conclusion you can come to, because the Bible tells you that. Now, a lot of preachers won't tell you that, but that's what the Bible will tell you. God does not love everybody. The love of God extends only to his elect. Did God love Esau? Now, you can just read down the page here with me. On the newsletter, did God love Esau? And you see the scripture references there. The wicked, the scripture references, the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Ammonites and Moabites, Jezebel, the sons of Eli, Sodom and Gomorrah, idolaters in Jerusalem, those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and those are the ones that never get any forgiveness in this life or the next, the vessels of wrath, Judas, particularly see John 6, 70 and 71 there, those verses. The Pharisees, those who love the world, other nations outside of Israel. The works of the wicked, Ephraim in reference to Gilgal. Now, particularly I want to read that verse right there. Here where God is talking, here in Hosea chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. You can see it there on your screen. Here it is. This is God talking. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings, and I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. So here we have a point-blank reference where God says, I hate them, and then he says, I will love them no more. Now, how obvious does it have to be? And this is God speaking here. So are you going to argue with him? All right, the next point, which may upset a lot of people, but it's a biblical fact whether you like it or not. The Holy Spirit of God cannot be defeated. No one can frustrate or stop the Spirit of God from accomplishing what he has set out to do. God, this is another way God is sovereign. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So God does this, not the person. God quickens a person, and not the person himself. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Notice she did not open her own heart. God opened her heart. God opens anyone's heart. It's God's work, not the man's work or his free will. God opens people's hearts. And of course, you have all those other references there besides these. As you can see on your screen there, the newsletter, if God intends to save a lost sinner, that sinner will be saved by the power of the Holy Spirit to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on his name. John 6, 37, note, shall come to me, end quote. Those who die in their sins never had the saving power of the Spirit. See John 6, 45, 2 Peter 2, 9 through 10. The question is, how do men become willing to believe? Jesus Christ himself said, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. That's John 5, 40. Paul said, quote, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Men can only become willing by God's act of granting repentance to them, and this is something that God only gives to his elect. And as you can see there on the page, all the scripture references. A person does not believe because he is saved by God. Now, did you get that? Do you understand what was just said there? That means then that salvation, then, is a sovereign act by a sovereign God. And it is not by the works of man or his free will. Do you get that? Salvation is by a sovereign act of God, not by the works of man. Now, what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, there's plenty it has to say about that all over the place, particularly in the whole book of Galatians. But I'm just going to read one of the most familiar verses. Even a lot of the false prophets know this verse. Of course, they twist it all out of reference. But when you take this verse in context, hermeneutically, with all the other verses throughout the scripture, there's no other conclusion you can come to than salvation is by God's grace and his work, and not your own puny free will. Because when you're left to your own self, you're gonna choose evil and wickedness. Because like the Bible says, men love darkness rather than the light. They love evil rather than the holiness that God loves. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And I can already hear a lot of people saying, oh, not that verse again. Oh, yes, that verse again. Because that verse, just like all the rest of the word of God, stands forever. Thy word stands forever, as it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. But that's not the verse I'm quoting right now. We're going with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And that says, and you can see it on your screen, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. God did the work. created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're doing our works ordained by God because God has sovereignly done a work in our lives which sets up our works unto Him. We're not doing these works so we can get saved, but we were saved already. And then we do these works because we have a love for God and want to do these works. And what's interesting about it all in the eternal plan of God, it's all ordained by God from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, as we've already seen from our study already. But anyway, let's get back to the newsletter. Okay, looking at the newsletter on this point, salvation is by the sovereign grace of God, not by the works of man. Men cannot will their salvation, run for it, or work for it. Salvation is totally in the hands of the Lord to give to whom He will. Romans 9:16 says, "So then, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." End quote. The sinner does not make a decision whether to accept or reject Christ because that option does not lie with the sinner, but with God. The lost sinner can only reject Christ unless God sends His Holy Spirit to save him. True conversion is only by the power of God, not by the will of man. If a person thinks he can save himself by performing the, quote, work, unquote, of, quote, deciding, unquote, for Christ, or accepting Jesus at his leisure, then that person believes salvation can be earned by his efforts and not God's. Now let's take a look at this scripturally. As you can see from the next point right under that, it only makes sense then if God instituted your salvation and made it happen, then it's obvious you're not going to lose your salvation. A lot of people think they can lose their salvation because they're the ones that got it in the first place. So they don't really trust themselves. And they don't trust God. But if God instituted your salvation and God's in control and all powerful, then you don't have to worry. You're going to be saved. You can't be lost because God did it, not you. But naturally, if you think you're the one that's attaining your own salvation, it's no wonder you're all worried and wringing your hands and, oh no, am I going to make it? You know, and it's because you have no assurance of salvation and you don't understand the power of God, and perhaps you've never really been truly supernaturally born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is something that only happens by an act of God, not you. Most people miss this, and that's why they're so messed up in their theology. Now, look back at the newsletter. God's elect will never lose their salvation. Once a sinner is born again, he is eternally secure. Now, check out some of these verses, many verses, as you can see there from the newsletter, but check out this one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So when you have the Holy Spirit of God, you are sealed for the day of redemption. That's it. You're sealed until the day of redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So you are shielded by God's power. That's the power of the Spirit within your life. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, for a true child of God, resides within us. And as it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, His Spirit is in communion with our spirit, that we are the sons of God. And when you have that Spirit, you are sealed to the day of redemption. We are shielded by the power of God's Spirit. And so, why worry? Of course, if you don't understand this or you've never been born again, I can understand why you're worrying a lot. Now let's look at this next verse. Actually, it's not just one verse, it's several verses. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, as you're looking at that passage of Scripture on your screen, how can you even contemplate that you could lose your salvation? Because it's saying neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, and that's the power of your so-called free will, or your decision, or something, your works that you do, or your whatever it might be, willpower or whatever. It says neither depth nor height nor anything else in all creation, and that includes you, can keep you from the love of God. You're saved, and God's going to make sure of that. The Holy Spirit is your surety, your seal unto the day of redemption. So you can't lose your salvation. And it's because it's not you, it's God. God makes sure of that, because his eternal plans, everything's arranged. God has already ordained all this before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1. And he knew us before he even created the world, Ephesians chapter 1. That's a good chapter to read, by the way. But anyway, I could preach a few more hours just on this, but let's keep moving along in our newsletter, lest we run out of time here. Okay, as we see at the top of page 4 on the third column of the newsletter, men naturally object to God's power and sovereignty. Men, due to their carnal pride, like to limit God's sovereignty in various areas, especially in the area of salvation. Men such as these try to say that God loves everybody and that God wants everybody to be saved. They say that God has no power to actually save anyone until after the lost sinner of his own free will makes a decision for Christ. In other words, it is the sinner, not God, who secures salvation. God merely offers everyone a chance, as if he owed it to everyone or anyone, leaving the sinner to perform the work of saving himself by accepting Christ. Basically, from this theory, God does not save anyone in particular, just anyone. And I can't help but chuckle at the ridiculousness of this. But basically, from this theory, God does not save anyone in particular, just anyone who will have him. And of course, this would then make God a respecter of persons, choosing people to be saved based on their own efforts to attain salvation, based on their own works, you might say. If this theory is true, then John the Baptist must have accepted Christ while still in the womb. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. These false doctrines do little more than exalt the will of man over the will of God. One, they reflect a God who is helpless and unable to keep countless multitudes from going to hell forever. Two, they reflect a God whose plan of salvation and eternal purposes are being defeated and overruled by the devices of the devil and the free will of man. And three, they reflect Christ as dying in vain for all the lost sinners who have despised and rejected him. If this is the case, then the precious blood of the Lamb is cheapened because of the fact that Christ's blood was and is insufficient and ineffective in saving all that he gave his life for. And that's basically the fact of the matter. If you're going to say that Christ died for everybody, and the vast majority of the people on the face of the planet are rejecting Christ and spitting on him and cursing God. And at the same time you're saying, oh, God loves them and he shed his blood. Well, if Jesus shed his blood for them, then he paid for all their sins. That's what the scripture says Christ's blood does. It pays for all trespasses and sins. I even read you that passage earlier out of Matthew. Of course, I clarified that, but I'm basically putting into effect this idea that Christ died for everybody, which is not true at all. Because if he did, then everybody has to be saved. Because Christ died for all their sins. And if he died for all their sins, that includes their sin of unbelief. Otherwise, all doesn't mean all. And in fact, hermeneutically, that puts people that believe this into a real bind, doesn't it, when it comes to other passages in Scripture where they try to say things like, let me not get ahead of the situation. Let me go ahead and proceed with our newsletter, and maybe I'll get more clarification on that point as we go along. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, as you see that verse on the screen, is it not true that you've probably heard it somewhere before? And if you're a football fan, you've no doubt seen it at many a football game, usually on a poster somewhere behind the end zone. But what I want you to understand about that is what these people at say God loves everybody, died for everybody, and they quote that verse. What they always want you to assume is God so loved the world, that world means every last man, woman, and child that ever lived on the face of the earth since the dawn of time. And so they want you to believe that that's what the word world there means. God so loved the world. And that has to, you know, it has to mean that. And that's what they want it to mean. And so they end up taking that verse, and basically, if you read just a few verses down, in fact, I read it earlier in John 3:19, just three verses down, where Jesus said, men love darkness rather than the light, and things of that nature. You find from reading Scripture that the word world doesn't always mean every last man, woman, and child that ever lived on the face of the earth since the dawn of time. It doesn't mean that. The word world, cosmos, means different things in different contexts. It's called a hermeneutical principle of interpretation. You have to interpret that according to the hermeneutics of the context of where it's found and what it's implying. So when we do that, we start to understand a lot better what's going on. Now check out this verse, for instance. John 17:9. Jesus in his high priestly prayer. You can see it there on the screen. Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now look at that verse. This is Jesus talking in his high priestly prayer. He says, I pray not for the world. Now if world always means every last man, woman, and child who ever lived that, you know, from the dawn of time, whatever. If that word means that every time you see it in the Bible, how come Jesus isn't praying for all these people? Or does the word world mean something else in that context? I submit to you that it does mean something completely different. Here in this context, the word world means that worldly system of evil that we find. You know, the Bible references to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, the world here is that evil system that's against God, much like the kings of the earth there in Psalm 2. That's a great psalm, by the way. All the psalms are great, but you know, read Psalm 2. It even have a messianic reference there to Christ. But the world system itself, and you look around at our culture, it's just totally anti-Christ, and it's getting more so every day. I even hear there, at the time of this production, there were a movie's coming out called The Son of God. And this is by one of those producers, that old TV show from a while back called Touched by an Angel. I never watched the show because I felt like it was just a watered-down, shallow imitation of what's supposed to be Bible theology. If it's shallow and watered down, then it's not the truth. And that's the kind of stuff that the devil thrives on. Well, anyway, that movie, The Son of God, I heard is reading some reviews about it, the producer of it, who played Mary in a previous production, who kind of considered Mary to be the 13th apostle in her other production. I forgot the name of that other movie she did, but it likewise was unbiblical. It takes a biblical story and then it waters it down whichever way she likes. The producer of this movie, The Son of God, which is currently out at the theaters, and has been endorsed by a lot of so-called Christian organizations and ministries. She didn't like the fact that the devil is not a very popular topic, and a lot of people don't want to believe in the devil. So what she decided to do in that movie is cast the devil out, literally, in the casting for actors in the movie. She decided not to cast anyone for the devil. and she decided the devil's too unpopular. Let's throw him out. And also, let's get rid of the wrath of God. Let's get rid of the need for repentance and salvation and all these things. And you sort of have Jesus as this great guy that's just come along, and you don't really get a real understanding of the wrath of God, the workings of the devil, and all these things that tie into biblical theology. And that's what they're presenting so they can make everybody happy. Kind of reminds me of Isaiah 30, which where the Israelites were telling the prophet, hey, don't tell us about the Holy One of Israel. Just tell us smooth things. Tell us things we want to hear and tickle our ears. Well, that's what this movie does. It does a lot of tickling of your ears to make you feel good. It's feel-good theology, the Joel Osteen way, I guess.
Speaking of movies, I can't help but mention another movie that's come out about the same time. And that movie is called Noah with Russell Crowe. As you see there on the screen, I have a movie review from Around the World with Ken Ham. He's the reviewer, and here's what he has to say. The title of the article is, "The Noah Movie is Disgusting and Evil. Paganism. Friends, last night I watched the Hollywood Paramount movie Noah. It is much, much worse than I thought it would be. Much worse." The director of the movie, Darren Aronofsky, has been quoted in the media saying that Noah is, quote, "the least biblical film ever made," end quote. And I agree wholeheartedly with him. I am disgusted. I am going to come right out and say it. This movie is disgusting and evil. Paganism. Do you really want your family to see a pagan movie that portrays Noah as a psychopath who says that if his daughter-in-law's baby is a girl, then he will kill her as soon as she's born? And when two girls are born, bloodstained Noah, the man the Bible calls righteous in Genesis 7:1, brings a knife down on the head of one of the babies to kill her, and at the last minute doesn't do it. And then a bit later, Noah says he failed because he didn't kill the babies. How can we recommend this movie and then speak against abortion? Psychopathic Noah sees humans as a blight on the planet and wants to rid the world of people. I feel dirty, as if I have to somehow wash the evil off myself. I cannot believe there are Christian leaders who would have recommended that people see this movie. It's as if someone heard the name Noah and that there was a flood and an ark, and then made up a pagan movie about it. I don't think there is anything else that really has to do with the Bible's account except some names of people. For example, Methuselah is some sort of witch doctor who can do magical things. There is much more I could say about it. So much more. And what's with the bizarre fallen angels being living rocks that helped Noah? Besides all this, this demonstrates the fact that it is better to study the Bible, the Word of God itself, rather than depend on unbelieving Hollywood heathen to tell you what the Bible says. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Keep in mind also that unrepentant, unspiritually born again people have carnal minds that hate the true and living God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. And of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Thus the Bible here is saying lost sinners can't understand or appreciate what the Spirit of God is really saying in Holy Writ, and therefore the things of God are just a bunch of nonsense to them. Take the following, for example. A leading charismatic word faith heretic named Gloria Copeland states that she and her husband Kenneth can control the weather. Check this out.
You know, you're supposed to control the weather. I mean, Ken's the primary weatherman at our house, but when he's not there, I do it. You can see what's happening out there. It shows just like they have on at the weather, like on the news. I mean, he's got the computers, got the current weather on it and all that for flying. So sometimes I'll hear something. I'll hear the thunder start. Maybe he'll still be asleep. And I'll say, Ken, you need to do something about this. And knowing that. But you are the one that has authority over the weather. One day, Ken and Pat Boone, we were in Hawaii at their house, and they were sitting outside, and there was a weather spout out over the ocean. And that's like a tornado, except it hits the water. And so they were sitting there, and they just watched it, rebuked it. It never did anything. One day, I was in the airplane in the back, and my little brother was in the back with me, and Ken was up front flying. And we were not in the weather, because we don't fly bad weather. But we could see the weather over here. And I looked out the window, and that tornado came down just like this, down toward the ground. And Ken said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get back up there. So this is how I learned how to talk to tornadoes. I saw this. And that tornado went, whoop, 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 whoop. Even while I was watching him, my little brother was not a devout Christian at that time, and that was really good for him to see. So you're the weatherman. You get out there, or the weather woman, whichever it is, and you talk to that thing, and you tell it, you're not coming here, I command you to dissipate, and you get back up there in Jesus' name.
Copeland and her word faith heretic cult are proved to be liars by the word of God. She and her husband do not control the weather, but rather God himself does. The Bible declares in Psalm 115, verse 3, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And then Psalm 135, verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all the deeps. This illustrates the point that lost sinners and false prophets cannot help but to deny the biblical doctrine of the sovereignty of God and replace God's sovereignty with their own imagined sovereignty over the weather or health or wealth or whatever. For more on this, see our playlist entitled Phony TV Preachers, located on our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV.
But anyway, what we see by this idea of the John 3:16, and now we're looking at this verse here in John 17:9. We're talking about a world system that is against what the Bible actually teaches and tries to deceive you into thinking God is something other. And that's what this movie Son of God does. And that movie, along with the culture and everything else, is what Jesus is not praying for. Jesus is not praying for all this kinds of stuff that we see in the world. Now, here's another verse. Check this out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, as you look at that on your screen, does the word world always mean every last man, woman, and child who ever lived? What is that? Or is he talking about something else? You see already, just from, and there's plenty of other verses that tie in with this, but as you can see, John 3:16 and a lot of these other verses that these people use to try to say Jesus died for everybody and his blood shed for everybody and blah, 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 it's all false because they're not taking into context what these words mean with the rest of Scripture. If you're going to interpret the Bible correctly, you have to take it all into context to get the proper understanding. And this is exactly what's happening all across the landscape when people intentionally, in a lot of cases, do not want the God of the Bible. They want something else. And if they don't like something, they take the Thomas Jefferson attitude. Anytime Thomas Jefferson didn't like something in his Bible, he literally took some scissors and cut out the verses he didn't believe in, particularly anything supernatural. So you might say Thomas Jefferson, in the end, had a truly holy Bible because it was full of holes he made in it by cutting out all the verses he didn't like. And that's what these movie people do with the Son of God and these other productions that have come along and these other people that give you so-called theology, which is full of holes when it comes to taking in the whole orb of what biblical theology is all about. Okay, now with that said, let me get back to our newsletter to continue our study. Okay, going back to our newsletter, you'll see there, still on page 5 now, down at the middle of the third column, why preach the gospel if God has already predestinated a limited number to be saved? The gospel is not an invitation, good advice, but a proclamation, good news. A proclamation concerning Christ, whether it is believed or not. The gospel announces the terms upon which men may be saved, expressly, repentance and faith. And without exception, all are commanded to fulfill them. As already stated, men in their natural states cannot achieve repentance and faith without God first sending His Holy Spirit to save them. The question arises, how can God hold men responsible for something they are unable to do? The very same question that appears in Romans chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. Paul answers that question in Romans 9, 20 through 24. The point is, God very often commands men to do things which they are unable to do of themselves. Did Lazarus have the power within himself to rise from the dead when Jesus commanded, Lazarus, come forth? John chapter 11, verse 43. Or the dead girl of Luke 8, 49 through 56. What about the paralytic of Luke chapter 5, verses 24 through 25? Did the paralytic have the power within himself to rise up, pick up his stretcher, and walk? No. So naturally, the Bible is filled with examples such as these. These miracles, like the miracle of being born again, are a mighty work of God. The gospel is preached because God has ordained it to be preached unto all the nations, Luke 24:47, so that it reaches all of God's elect who are scattered abroad, John chapter 11, verse 52, among all nations. It is by the preaching and hearing of God's word that the elect are called, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. And logically, in order for the elect to hear the gospel, it must be preached to the elect and non-elect alike, Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. All right, our newsletter continues here on page 6. About the middle of the page, you see 10 questions on God's election. Now, for sake of time and brevity, and plus the fact that you can easily go online to our website, BibleQuery.org, and as I mentioned already at the beginning of the program, go to our website. Once you're on the homepage, click on the box to the left up at the top called Experience. It'll zoom you down the page on the left column just above the newsletters. Then you just scroll down from there, and you can find the newsletter titled How Sovereign is God. Click on that, wait for it to download, and then you can print out this newsletter. So since I'm going to skip a large amount of material here, if you really want to know the answers to these questions, you'll know what to do. So that's why I prefaced it that way. Okay, all I'm going to do here is, you can see it at home on the screen, I'm just going to read the questions and leave the rest for you to go find the answers. Number one, what is the meaning of the word election? Two, are there scriptures which teach that God elected individuals to salvation before the world began? I think the answer to that is pretty obvious so far from our study. How can you reconcile election with whomsoever will? Question number four. I think that election is too mysterious to be understood. Do you not agree with me? If so, why do you preach election? Point number five. What about 2 Peter 3:9, which says that God is not willing that any should perish? Point number six. If election is true, then isn't God unjust? Number seven. Does not everyone have an opportunity to be saved? Number eight. What do you mean by unconditional election? Number nine. Why preach the gospel if some are elected to go to heaven anyway?
Point 10. Does election mean that God foresaw who would repent and believe, and thus knew beforehand who would be saved, and so chose them to be saved?
All right, there you have it. Those are 10 important questions that we have answers for. But I'm going to leave it up to your research. You can either go get our newsletter online. You can call me at my phone number, leave a message, and have me send you this newsletter so you can look up the answers. Or a third way you can do it, since my video man uses high-definition technology, is hope to read what you can from the newsletter itself on the screen graphics we're showing. So you got three ways to get the answers to those questions. Now, going through the more of our newsletter here, something I want to bring up in relation to all this. As you see here on the third column on page 7, you have a little advertisement there for one of our playlists. It says, see our related videos on this subject. It says, check out these videos on our playlist dealing with predestination, Arminianism, and Calvinism, located on our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV. And I have there listed five videos that tie into this subject. And as you can see there, we have Biblical Election. Do sin-loving evildoers choose a holy God? Or does a holy God choose sinners? Next we have, did Jesus die for everybody who ever lived or not? Debate number four, why does Jesus speak in parables? Now, this particular debate I participated in against an interesting person who's an Arminian oneness. He denies the Trinity, King James onlyite. So you get three interesting situations all in one. Anti-Trinitarian, Arminian, and it's interesting that a lot of your cultists are Arminian in nature, which ties into that particular brand of unbiblical theology. And he also is a King James onlyite. And a lot of people recognize the King James only, or the King James Bible, and that's the only one they use. And it's not just the King James onlyites, but I myself like to use the King James in all my telecasts. In fact, I've been using King James in this telecast simply because it leads to less flack and more people are attentive to you reading the Bible when you read from a King James. So I use it in all my television shows going back since 1985 for that reason alone, although I'm not a King James-onlyite. In fact, my favorite Bible translation is the New American Standard. Is my favorite study Bible because it's in American English and it really stays close to the Greek and Hebrew text. But I also love a King James. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. But anyway, this particular debate went on for 4 hours with this guy, and he was arguing a lot of the stuff I've already mentioned in this review so far. But if you want to see 4 hours of intense biblical debate, really getting into the scripture text, I recommend this particular debate to you. It's a four-hour debate, and this one here on our newsletter is only showing the fourth hour of the debate, which I think at this time has over 35,000 viewings. All right, now the next one is biblical predestination. Number one, is your God too small? This video series is 6 hours long. I'm with Bob L. Ross of Pilgrim Publications, one of the number one publishers of the works of Charles Haddon Spurgeon in the world. And that particular video series will be of great value to you when you want to understand more about the predestination of God mentioned in the scripture. Next, we have sad state of the church. 87% of evangelical Christians don't know what gospel justification is. Now, that title is actually, the title actually should have said, but there wasn't enough room to put it on YouTube. 87% of evangelical Christians don't know what the gospel is, and they don't know what justification is. But I didn't have enough room to put that, so I had to kind of blend it all together in that title. But that'll freak you out because that shows you 87% of the people that claim to be evangelical Christians don't even know what the gospel is, and they don't know what gospel justification is, and they don't even get what a lot of this stuff we've been talking about here is, because their theology is so messed up and their understanding of God is so skewered, they have no clue, and it's most unfortunate. And then another video you may want to check out is John Wesley, founder of Methodism and an Arminian, said he did not love God. It was an honest heathen. Now, I highly recommend you check out that video because one reason the evangelical church is in such a mess today is because of people like him. It's people like him that are causing all this trouble and people not understanding who God is or what's God's power and all these types of things. And one reason is, look at his own testimony. Look at it. John Wesley, founder of Methodism and an Arminian, said he did not love God and was an honest heathen. So do you really want to get your theology from someone who doesn't love God and who admits he's an honest heathen? Well, that's what a lot of these so-called Christian seminaries and churches and pastors and so-called scholars or whatever, they're using him. It's no wonder everything's a mess. And if you want to get even worse than him, here's another hero of a lot of evangelical Christians, such as Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell, of that old-time moral majority that used to be around back in the 1980s. And who would that be? What great Bible teacher would that be? Well, there it is on your screen. See it for yourself. That's our video, Beware of False Prophets, Charles Grandison Finney, Phony Revivalist and Arch Heretic. This guy is an outright Pelagian, believing in work salvation. And he would deny almost everything we've been studying in this video so far. And a large number of the so-called Christian church loves Finney and everything he stands for, along with Wesley. And so anyway, if you want to get more information about that, I'm kind of doing this little infomercial to promote those two videos for your benefit. Check those videos out. The one on Wesley, and by the way, the one on Wesley, let me show that again. You can see there on your screen, it's already got over 91,000 views. So there's a lot of Wesleyites out there that are checking him out. But I don't know how many of them really like what I have to say about him. But hey, all I'm doing is quoting him. But anyway, let's move on with our newsletter and proceed. So we go from page 7 over to page 8. And you see there our Christian Answers Director of Research and also our ministry webmaster, Steve Morrison, who has a PhD. He writes a column in every newsletter called Steve's Q&A, where he answers someone's questions and answers them, of course. Steve, oh, by the way, Steve runs all three of our websites. He's done a great job with that. We have three websites, just to give him a plug here. BibleQuery.org, which answers over 8,000 Bible questions, by the way. Okay, another one of his websites is www.historycart.com. And that one covers early Christian church history and is very informative as to what the early church fathers taught and things, in case you had a wonderment about that. And, of course, the third website that Steve manages and has produced, you might say Steve's really an expert on Islam. He's actually written 4 books on Islam, but it's called www.muslimhope.com. And this website is a classic refutation of the counterfeit religion of Muhammad. And if you need reference material that will refute Islam, this is the website to go to. It is fantastic, and it has other links to other great sites that also refute Islam. Very handy to have. Okay, anyway, as you can see here from the newsletter, Steve's covering a question about the Druze religion, in case not many people have heard of that, but he covers it here and he has his answer. And then also his other question is on Jehovah's Witness. At the end of Steve's article, we have an advertisement here. As you can see on your screen, we have playlists on all kinds of subjects dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Roman Catholicism, Islam, dealing with UFOs, ghosts, magic, spiritual warfare, and Satan. And then we have another playlist we mentioned before, but it's Charles H. Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards, and our Spanish videos. We actually have a number of videos we've done in Spanish. So if any of you out there need Spanish information or videos in Spanish, maybe we have something that will help. We don't have very many of them, but we do have some Spanish videos. All right, going on to the next page. Page 10 mentions how we've gone over 3 million viewings, but of course at the time of this recording, we've now gone over 4 million. And then underneath it, it shows 4 of our most watched videos. Unpopular, which I've mentioned a few times. Of course, the numbers here are all different now than when we produced this newsletter. The numbers have all gone up. But I can tell you from this that the UFO video has now been bumped out of there by 2 other videos. The video you see there on your screen, Favorite Old-Time Christian Bluegrass Gospel Music, Psalm 98, 4 and 5, has actually jumped the UFO video and is now at around 241,000 at the time of this recording. And then another video has jumped it as well. And in fact, we'll show it to you here on the screen from YouTube. It's my debate, Larry Wessels versus 2 Jehovah's Witnesses at a university study center. And that video has now gone over the number that the UFO video. So apparently UFOs are losing interest to other subjects. but also on the here you'll see my daughter Marlena, being the proud daddy. I still have to promote to everybody my daughter's music video of Christian songs she wrote and performed herself, and they play her songs on the Christian radio. And a CD of that is available from our ministry, by the way. And then, of course, you also see a picture of Steve and me. That's actually my favorite photo of Steve and me in action in studio there. Okay, page 11 of the newsletter is simply our order form page. And it also shows our topical videos on various subjects. You'll see that the featured book that we're offering in this particular newsletter is Drawn by the Father, a study of John 6, 35 through 45 by Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That he has a great ministry, a great YouTube ministry. His Dividing Line telecast and all that stuff, all the books he's written, all the debates he's been in. Here's the book, Drawn by the Father by Dr. James White. Now, just looking at the back of the book, his book centers in on, and I'm just reading here, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one coming to me I will never cast out. No man is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So Dr. White centers in on those key phrases by Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 about he saying, you can't come to me unless the Father who sent me draws you. So unless the Father draws someone to Jesus, they're not going to come to him. It has to be ordained and predestinated by God the Father for anyone to come to Jesus Christ. And that's basically what Dr. White's talking about in this excellent book. So I highly recommend it. In fact, here's a picture of James and me. I actually had the opportunity to go on a Christian apologetic cruise with him a couple of years ago. And I was able to get a camera opportunity with him and took this picture with him while we were on that cruise. We went, he gave lectures on Christian apologetics and Islamic apologetics on that cruise. And we're here at the port returning from that cruise in the port of Galveston in Texas, coming back after having been to Mexico and down to Belize. All right, with that, moving on to the last page of the newsletter. You can see here, this is just the mailer side of the newsletter, but underneath there are a lot of fascinating letters we get from everywhere. We get emails and letters and phone calls from all over the place. Just looking at this last page of the newsletter, you see we have one from Germany there, and we have another one from England, another one from New Zealand. And we have people that are dealing in different religious groups. And the first letter is from someone that's wanting to know more about Ellen G. White, and then someone wanting to know about the Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth. But a lot of fascinating letters we get from all around the world, basically, through the YouTube outreaches. In fact, last time I checked, YouTube has an analytic that shows you who's actually watching your videos. And I haven't done it in a few months now, but last time I looked, the YouTube analytic showed that 210 different countries watched some of our videos over the last 30 days. Now, that's pretty incredible. 210 countries watched some of our videos over the last 30 days. And some of them were Muslim countries, which I found to be very fascinating. I know some of these Muslim countries ban YouTube, and so that cuts us out of the action. But still, of the ones that are left, to get 210 countries watching you on YouTube, praise the Lord for that. The message is going out. All right, well, this concludes this Bible study and, of course, the newsletter discussion for this particular episode of Christian Answers Presents. I want to thank you for joining me today in this presentation. I hope in some small way it will inspire you to really get into the Word of God, to study who this God is that created all this that we find ourselves in, that has created the reality that we find ourselves in. To me, it doesn't make any sense. If there's really a God, He should be able to communicate with us. You know, a lot of these guys, they run around on the landscape and they say, well, God's unknowable, blah, blah, blah. But if there is a creator so sophisticated that he can create this whole universe and he knows a lot more about quantum physics, for instance, than the best and most knowledgeable scholars on the whole planet, if he knows more than they are. And basically what I'm saying is if God is smarter than the smartest guy we got, then it stands the reason he would be smart enough to figure out a way to contact us or tell us something, don't you think? If God wants to give us a message, and he has given us a message, and he's verified that message in so many ways. Something I didn't even mention on proving the Bible, for instance, is really from the Word of God. There's over 2,000 fulfilled prophecies in the Bible itself. Now, how is the Bible going to be able to predict and fulfill 2,000 prophecies unless God wasn't controlling everything and running the universe? And this is just another proof for the biblical text. So, in fact, we've got two videos on that in case you want to check that out. But anyway, thank you for joining us today. Join us again next time. If you need any help on anything, feel free to email us at seeddebater@aol.com. If you like to phone call us, the phone number is there. But it's just an automated answering machine. I don't have time to answer all the phone messages and stuff, but you can leave a message. And at some point, I'll try to get back to you. So it's a lot faster to use email, let me tell you. Also, the videos are there for you on YouTube free of charge. Also, another thing we're starting to get into, I think I'll mention this as I just now thought about it. So there's something we're getting into called www.sermonaudio.com. And you'll find a lot of great preachers there, including Dr. James White, who I just mentioned. There's John MacArthur on there, Paul Washer, Vadi Bukamp, just a whole wealth of good preachers there, including yours truly. We're now working on getting a lot of our video stuff on YouTube uploaded onto sermonaudio.com. And what I really like about that particular organization is I can listen to any preachers I want. I work 6 nights a week, and while I'm at my night job, people always ask me, how do you know so much about the Bible? It's because my night job allows me to study the Word of God all night long while I'm working, because it's one of those kind of more mechanical, mindless type jobs. It pays good, though. And so I just sit there and listen to the Bible on CD or audio or MP3. But in this case, with sermonaudio.com, I can plug in any preacher I want. I can sit there and listen to his hour-long sermon or whatever it is. And as soon as that one's over, I can just plug in and put another sermon in either by that preacher or some other preacher. And I'm listening to the Word of God all night long. And I'm loving every minute of it. So anyway, just a little idea for you to pass along as I sign off. Well, thank you again. May the Lord bless you, especially in your studies of his Word. And join us again next time for another edition of Christian Answers Presents. I'm Larry Wessels. God bless you all. And remember, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. God bless.
Check out our websites, BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian debater. My daughter Marlena has come out with a Christian music CD entitled Win This Fight. It has 8 songs that she has written and performed herself. Some of the song titles are Win This Fight, Love Song to My Lord, Vessel to You, Waiting to Hear from You, Jesus Is, and others. YouTube viewers can listen and see Marlena's music video, Jesus Is, right now, free. Just type Marlena Wessels, MarlenaWessels, in the YouTube search box and click on her video on the page that comes next. If you would like more information about getting a copy of her CD, just email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Or give us a call at 512-218-8022. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you and yours. To the Jesus.